Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the stolen ancestral territory of the Kwikwetlem, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh.
Listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree.com/CJSF radio and learn more by visiting our website cjsf.ca. Got a request? Text or call us at 778-782-2573. Welcome everyone to Slumber Party every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. My name is DJ Star.
And I'm DJ Coco.
And I think we're just gonna hop right to it and play the first song, which is called Company Car by Snooper. They just released an album on October 3rd. I've been listening to this band for a while and it's a really, really great album, so you should go check it out.
Enjoy.
all the world before you. You're the one who's wasted, so I got nothing.
Welcome back. This is CJOSEF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. You're tuning into Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star. You just heard Goodbye Song by Jian. That was her goodbye song to men, which is a pretty good song anyways. And yes, I think we are going to get into our topic.
We're going to take
a stab
at it.
Seems that way. Getting into it pretty quick today.
We're a little divided on this topic, so we'll see how it goes. But kind of got some inspiration from this 25-cent book that I picked up from the library about a month or so ago. It's called All Made Up by Audrey Barshich, and it's from 2006. And I've been kind of flipping through it. It's not really a serious book. It's going about ideas of female beauty standards, issues with idealizing models and pop culture and et cetera, things, kind of topics like that. So I thought that we should kind of make our topic for today going and surrounding around Western beauty standards. I have an argument that there are roots in evolutionary biology, but DJ Star might counteract me on that one. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. So more about the inspiration. So I picked up this book. I've been kind of flipping through it. And there are ideas that, yes, they are from 2006. And that was a different time. But I feel like this is still a relevant book. And the problems that they were having in the book, the nonfiction novel, are things that we still, and women and girls, struggle with today, and I struggle with as well.
Yeah, if you pick up any book written on feminism or feminist theory from, any time ever, all of those ideas are genuinely still relevant today. Oh, yeah. So not a lot has changed in that aspect.
Yeah, everything is still extremely relevant. And I would argue as well, worsening, especially with our era of social media, and you can see this, the rise in plastic surgery to even the pornography industry, which is massive and not anything like it was before the 2000s. And there are things that, you could counteract saying that. You can be like, there's this movement for embracing more beauty types. So, for example, there have been campaigns by big beauty companies such as Dove. They have, and I've seen before, their Real Beauty commercials. So kind of celebrating more diverse beauty. Victoria's Secret fashion shows that were very controversial, and they ended as well. But
it's not genuine, it's not genuine. They're doing it because it's trendy.
It's more performative that they're ending. And even on social media, people are saying, oh, look, we're embracing fitness and women who are muscular, et cetera. But are we really embracing women who are muscular? Which is a whole nother topic I could get into.
No, so the answer is no.
The answer is no. There are these rooted standards that are obviously still apparent. I don't know how invisible they are, because they feel pretty visible to me still.
But they're everywhere. If you can, realize what they are, and then you can just see them everywhere.
Yeah. And related to this, I've been watching a pretty girly show recently called The Summer I Turned Pretty. Defense, I used to read the books. I used to read the books in middle school.
No need for a defense.
Defense, I used to love the books in middle school, and the show came out. It's been going on for a couple seasons. You may have heard of it. It's actually very popular. A lot of people and a lot of women have been watching it alongside all different ages, because it's kind of this intergenerational show where I feel like moms are watching it, teenagers to adolescents, young teens, because it reaches a lot of different categories of life stages. And so it's this coming of age show by the author, or the author of the books was Jenny Han, and she's also written other books, and they've all turned into movies or shows as well. And the central plot of it is a girl with two brothers from a different family in love with her. And sure, that's the plot of the story. But what I see is that after this show ends, and that people aren't really liking the actions of this protagonist, of the girl, there's a lot of hatred I've noticed towards the protagonist, the main character, Lola Tung, where a lot of women particularly are attacking her appearance, the actual actress's appearance, because they don't like the character, saying like, oh, she's not pretty enough for these two boys to fight over her, or she's fat, she looks fat. And it's disgusting to hear and see, especially since the main character is not your typical Hollywood Western beauty standard ideal, because she is Asian, and so I guess that seems a little out of what do you say, a little out there, I can say. I don't know, in terms of Hollywood, and she's not exactly model skinny, but she's healthy looking, and it's disgusting, and it hurts myself too to see other women attack someone and a girl who looks healthy, and the fact that she's getting attention from other guys. And I feel like these beauty standards are rooted in all women, and we're also reinforcing the standards between ourselves, and we're fighting each other as well. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Because, like, once you're told that that is your only value, I guess, in society, and then you see other women, you know, it's like, it's almost like a competition, I guess, or a lot of people see it that way, is like, okay, well, the only way I can get up is by putting someone else down, because I need to, like, lessen their value so I can increase mine.
Exactly. So there's that. So those were kind of the two inspirations of this talk.
Yeah. And I also have a note here just about, like, how corporations appear to, like, embrace all beauty. Is that, yeah, like, pushing towards diversity of beauty was a big thing. I don't know if it is so much anymore, but it's almost similar to, like, pride advertising too, like taking any kind of societal issue or, like, group of people that have been disadvantaged by society, and then they just are like, let's uplift them. But, you know, it's just, it is not a permanent action or, like, a tangible action, because also, like, following the general trend of, like, rising fascism, we kind of see a drop in a lot of companies that used to do pride advertising. And, like, there was that whole controversy as well with, like, American Eagle and Sydney Sweeney with that whole advertisement.
Great
is like
jeans.
Yeah, great jeans. So it's kind of like, it's an illusion, whatever the corporations are trying to push, and it's more reflective of, like, the general attitudes of society rather than any actual progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like whatever embracement we do, it's just for a short amount of time, but then it kind of comes back to the root issue, and the root idea that beauty should look one certain way, which is not correct, but it is reinforced by capitalism, because that's how we can make money, is by reinforcing this one look that everyone can, or that you can buy your way into.
Yeah, it's interesting with the beauty standard, is because, like, I don't know why, but I just recently realized that whoever is capable of, like, actually fitting this super unrealistic beauty standard in a way where it's, like, unrealistic given, like, how much time in a day you have to achieve that look, and also, like, how much money you can invest in it, is that it's, like, a bourgeoisie kind of concept. Like, who in the world has enough time and money to, like, become this ideal type other than very wealthy women who have these, like, the money for surgeries, treatments, skincare, even like professional makeup artists, recovery time from surgeries, like things like that. Like, no working class woman is really going to be able to achieve what people are asking out of us, and like, no one has that time, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, I feel like this goes even into young age as well, where girls from a young age are being told things like, oh, you're so pretty, or you're so cute, and everything complements to what they look like externally. And so growing up, I mean, I was a victim too, where I prioritized my appearance a lot during school. I wanted to dress well. I wanted to know how to use makeup. I wanted to use hair rollers, et cetera, et cetera. And this all takes away time from school and what, you know, trying to study for things that your future career will end up in. And that's another thing of why I think that the science and STEM, that's a whole nother thing of that there's such a difference in gender and sexes for that.
And it's also interesting that it's like, yeah, we're taught to prioritize being beautiful, but it's also like through the characters that we see in the media and like how our role models of being a woman are like portrayed in a certain way. Is that like, I saw this recent, I guess it was like a study or more of a meta-analysis on like how much speaking time women actually get in a lot of Oscar award-winning films. And it's like maybe like 1/12 of the amount of time that men get speaking. So even just that is like a subliminal messaging towards women. It's like, okay, yeah, you can be seen. And like, I think a lot of times women's main role in movies is like being beautiful in some way, or like
to be a nice face.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's like, oh, she's beautiful, but you know, she's smart, or like, she's beautiful, but she's strong. Like, you know what I mean? It's almost like a paradox anyways in that sense. But anyways, I just wanted to say that, like,
yeah,
I think it's, you know, definitely fed through.
Yeah, that is very true.
Role models. It's always
celebrated. It's always celebrated that, I mean, you can be smart, sure, but then we won't care unless you're also beautiful at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you can appeal to us, aka men. Sorry.
Us, yeah,
not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Us,
sorry,
yeah.
Not sorry.
Definitely.
And just before we kind of continue rolling on, we're referring to Western beauty standards, just to make clear, because of course there are lots of different beauty standards across the world. I can argue that it may be becoming more generalized into this Western beauty standard, but it's overall this idea of being a woman who is thin, pale-skinned, white, long straight hair, having a clear skin, small nose, large eyes, large lips, sharp jawline, oval face, and being young. So it's more of the general age of being in, I guess, your 20s, early teen or late teens as well. And I pulled up a couple of models or actors that I think kind of that fits this beauty standard. There are many more, but for example, Angelina Jolie, Margot Robbie, Megan Fox, Madison Beer. Those are the most typical ones that I think are the most celebrated in the media, and that a lot of girls look up to and want to look like.
Yeah, and it's also like the thing with the Western beauty standards is that a lot of the standards that we have are also kind of like stolen from other races in a way, but then also just like will only be acceptable if they're like on a white body. Like, large lips are generally not like a characteristic of white women, but then it's still like put on, like projected in a way onto like the standard of whiteness and the standard of beauty, even though it's like could be more common in other races, but then in other races it's like shunned or like bullied, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And we saw that with like the whole Kardashian thing where they're, you know, basically like cosplaying as black women, but then because it's like on, I don't know, are they like Armenian or something, like it's more like acceptable and more revered, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you have most of the stereotypical features of the Western beauty standard, then kind of negligible in a way. And so those are the beauty standards that we're going off of. And I have a very evolutionary psychological standpoint on this topic in general. So my belief that what backs these beauty standards is sexual selection from Darwin's theory of evolution. DJ Star might counteracting me on this one, shaking her head. But just before I get into it, sexual selection is the mechanism of natural selection, which arises through mate choice of members of the opposite sex. So, for example, you can see that peacocks, male peacocks are the ones who have the big, you know, big feathers, flashiness, and the female peacocks are attracted to the male peacocks that are massively attractive, and the bigger, brighter feathers they have, the more likely the females will mate with the peacocks, the male peacocks. Similarly, widowbird tails. So the males have very, very long tails.
Yeah, birds are crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not sure. We still don't really know why the females really like the really long tails, because it actually doesn't help them survive, because, of course, it's a lot harder to fly with a really long tail. But apparently the female widowbirds really like the long tails, so they go for the males with the long tails. So
yeah,
these are kind
it's
of
like
mechanisms.
A chicken or the egg situation, because I think they choose males with like this also like really attractive look, so that their offspring, like their sons, will also have something that are like attractive to like females in a way, so that they like their genes can be carried on. But it's like, well, yeah, which one did come first? I don't think people know.
Yeah, so that's kind of the definition before we get into it. But from my very biological standpoint, I think that Western beauty standards are biological in a sense, not completely, but certain traits are consistent and across cross-culturally, if I may argue.
If I may argue. Please.
There are things that I believe that are shared between cultures and people across the world, such as having facial symmetry, which is kind of having all your features, you know, symmetrical. One eye isn't way up top on your head and one eye is not on the bottom, or that your nose is really crooked, kind of things like that. And I'd argue that these are indicative of an evolutionary standpoint, having good genetic fitness, general health. And, you know, it shows that if your face is symmetrical and normal, that you're not really, let's say, thousands a year ago, that you weren't attacked by parasites, or you have something going on, some illness within you, and kind of goes into this good genes hypothesis, where we're trying to reproduce with, you know, the best genes possible for our offspring. And that could be a mechanism of why we like people who have very symmetrical faces and perceive them as more attractive. There are other things like having facial averageness, which also goes into this hypothesis, where having a more average face, so this is Galton's averageness hypothesis. It's more of a technical term. It means more for a mathematical mean. It doesn't mean that you look average, but it means that you look, you know, having an average face is quite good looking, since it's not disproportionate like the symmetry. And this also goes into having better genetic fitness, and psychologically perceived as more attractive, healthier, happier, and some things like clear skin as well. I'd say that cross-culturally everyone likes clear skin. So those are some of the more heavier biological terms that I think could be involved.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not gonna argue with that necessarily, because yeah, like, I get it. Yeah, that is like a clear standard, and I think most people don't generally have like clear skin and like super symmetrical faces. It's more just like a certain percentage of people that have that, and then that is like what's the word I'm looking for, that's just, you know, like taken and put as the beauty standard, because, you know, it's hard to achieve. So it's like, okay guys, like, let's work on trying to get this by like all these different means of trying to. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
with that.
yeah it's hard because we always want someone who can achieve or has achieved something that's hard or difficult to have, and having clear skin and being very attractive is something that we want and also want to carry off into our offspring in a sense. So that's that area.
But it's so strange because, like, yeah, clear skin is like a standard, but I feel like it's mostly a standard for women. Like, when we think about, are there any skincare products that are being pushed to men that are, like, not perceived as being gay by using them? Like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, we want...
I'd say there's a bigger push now than before, but still not anywhere near the level of women for having clear skin. And, yeah, I feel like there's still this connotation that it's... You're gay if you use skincare, which is not true. But I've noticed, like, for K-pop and Korean culture, a lot of men use makeup and skin products, and skincare is very big in South Korea, and it's quite normal over there. But a lot of Western people in the rest of the world think that it's strange that Korean men use skincare, and you know, we're getting past that, but it's still that kind of idea.
The idea of, like, masculinity.
Yeah, masculinity. And, you know, no, you don't have clear skin.
How dare you, like, use a cleanser? But also, who's to say that cleansers even work? Because it's not like women have, like, way better skin than men on average or anything. Like, I don't know if there's been studies done on that, but I haven't seen it personally, firsthand experience.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe it's not their top priority for all the studies in the world. but yeah, and... Another one, which is also arguable, is that neotenous features. Can't pronounce that really well. But this is kind of where the idea of being youthful comes in. And maybe why men prefer younger women, which is this idea that you look very youthful, as I said. You have big eyes. Clear skin, large lips, small nose, large forehead, and
it's kind of creepy.
It's a little creepy. It could be rooted in evolution, though, because from some studies from PubMed, it says it may be indicative of, or someone who's very neotenous, indicative of high estrogen levels, and thus more attractive to heterosexual males, particularly those with higher testosterone in their 20s to 30s. This same study also said that once the heterosexual males got older, they didn't care as much for neotenous features. But I thought it was interesting.
At
a certain time point. It can be argued, though. I'm not 100% on this.
Okay. Like, I feel like this is less of, like, a hard stance of taking, like, oh, men only like youthful and fertile women, whereas women like older men with, like, a lot of resources, which is, like, what I... traditionally think of when the idea of, like, evolution and beauty comes to mind, or, like, evolution, like, sexual selection. I feel like that is normally, like, the standard of perceiving, like, mate selection. And, like, yes, maybe they're going to be, like, less attractive as you get older, but also I've seen, like, some pretty depressing, like, surveys where